Now, when we are growing up, we all hope that we find something to do with our lives that's fulfilling, that we do well, and that we are passionate about. Some people fall into that very naturally, while others find that path much more difficult to figure out. In studio this morning, we have a man who entered into something of a crisis while in college when he started to question the career he had planned for himself and wondered, was there more to life? So here to tell us more, we are delighted to have that man now, Father Adrian Crowley. You're very welcome to the show, Father Adrian. How are
you? Thank you, Ronan. Thank you.
First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up and what did you want to do?
I grew up in Cork and I had a grand education and fine family, lovely. And I had happy teens. I played rugby with Christians and life was good. And at that time, I lost my faith. I went into rock music and I grew pretty rebellious about things, pretty rejecting of authority and stuff like that. And I went to university. I had lots, I suppose, of the world at my feet. But I knew in my heart, I had a big emptiness in my heart, a big gap. And I knew I was missing something, but not know what I was missing. And since I was an atheist at the time, I had rejected the church and stuff. I really didn't know, but I knew there was a big gap there.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because it's like, you know, I suppose those of us who are floating around in the waters of that time, it was a kind of an atheistic time in some respects for a particular generation. You know, in the sense that, you know, people were kind of they were with the so-called rise of the inverted commas the sciences, you know, and the kind of philosophy. It wasn't even, I mean, all science is good and proper and right, but the idea that a philosophy, kind of an atheistic secular kind of a philosophy, came with it, didn't it? And it impacted a lot of us at the time. And I was just thinking that, you know, if you were young and cool and into your music, as I was too at the time, it kind of was hard to kind of avoid that particular way of thinking.
It's true.
And there wasn't a lot to kind of challenge you in it either.
No. I had, at that time, was Led Zeppelin, Jethro Tull, everything.
Great. I love those bands.
And they were fantastic. The gift of music is a glorious gift. But I hadn't linked it at the time. I love music, but I hadn't linked it with the fact that God is the giver of the gift and it glorifies Him. I couldn't see that, and I couldn't see the beauty of creation, the mountains, the snow and so on. I couldn't make the link to say, well, creation or creator, beautiful, therefore the ultimate beauty is God, you know.
So you came to a fairly low place in a way.
I did. When I was in university, I got really, I suppose, quietly despairing. And in my heart, just that absence in my heart. I think absence is a very painful thing. I had been in love when I was 17, a beautiful girlfriend, and that love meant the world to me. And we split after a year and a half, and as happens. And that leaves a huge absence in your heart then, and you can't fill that too quickly. And what happened was, when I was 22 years of age, just finished university, I experienced one day, quietly in my room, just the most amazing, beautiful presence of God. The day of my life, like the love that I felt at that moment was greater than all the other love I'd experienced in my life, a kind of heavenly love. And it didn't last too long, but it just really touched my heart in a way. And I felt, you might say, the Holy Spirit entering into my life more that moment. And I felt like the Lord, almost like Beck saying, well, talk to me, pray a little bit. And I was thinking, well, the first thing I said was, Lord, I don't believe in you. And I was a big smile saying, Lord, now I believe, because this beautiful experience. And then I said, Our Father, who art in heaven. And as I said that, I felt the real fatherliness of God. I felt filled with a joy to think I have a new heavenly Father. Glorious thing. And I felt almost like I met the Father God for the first time. Because it had never clicked into me before.
Can I ask you about the experience itself? Because these, I mean, they absolutely fascinate me. Did it come absolutely out of nowhere?
It did. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't a believer at the time. It was most amazing. It was absolutely certain. No doubt ever about it.
So it was like that kind of feeling of suddenly you weren't on a quest to find God. You hadn't read a book. You hadn't.
No.
It just suddenly you were sitting in a room and just God arrives and hits you. And I'm interested in the idea that you had this feeling of you just knew. It's like you knew. Like while you were experiencing it, you weren't going, I wonder what this is. You were going, you just kind of knew this was God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've been looking for words to describe it ever since. It's kind of describing the indescribable, mm-hmm. a glorious thing. If you could almost put it like if someone spiritually came to hug you and said, I love you, and you've never known that. Mm-hmm. I never knew that God... I got the best education with the brothers and so on, and I got much, let's say, faith formation. But it was like water off a duck's back, and I never got into my heart. And the sense of the love of God... That day, it was just the sweetest thing. And I, to this day, I live from that experience. I can't live, I wouldn't ever want to live without that sweetness in my life, that love in my life. It's love in my life. And when I read the passage, you know, God is love, it clicked, it's absolutely clicked with that experience.
And I don't want to overrelate this, but the notion that you almost have the experience, you have the encounter with God, and then you kind of you backfill the theology afterwards.
I was a bit had to start from zero, yeah. And I came back to church a few weeks later. I wandered in at one morning to a 10 o'clock mass, and.
How did that go for you, by the way? Because you've just had this ecstatic experience of God, and then you're going back to a boring old experience.
To be honest with you, I felt again the presence of the Lord there, like almost saying, like, aha, you've come home. It was no like, hey, where you been? You're rebellious, you were bad, you were this, you were that. It was almost like the soft, gentle presence saying, well, this is your place. You've come back at last. And I was just felt really at peace, like the shoe that fits that day, you know?
Yeah. That's a fabulous story. I love that. Yeah. And as you say, I love the fact that even now you're saying you've had, you know, it was such a profound experience of God so early in your life that you're still unpacking it to some degree, even now.
Brilliant. Unbelievable. Yeah. No, I won't say unbelievable.
Believable.
And
yeah, sure.
I gave myself at that time, I said, Lord, you know, my life is yours and I love you to bits because of this and so on. And the journey since then, sometimes I say it's like the wandering journey, the Jews in the wilderness, you know.
Yeah.
You're going here, seeking the will of God, seeking the place you want me to do, the work you want to do. I was a teacher, I was teaching. Even the kids in the class used to say to me, sir, did you ever think of becoming a priest? You know? And I say, no, that's not my... But I suppose, it's a journey, an adventure, and there's always the beautiful, faithful friend with you. Always overseeing your journey and guiding your steps and so on. And I'm sometimes amazed, you know, I've been here and there. I'm amazed at the things that can happen in your life because of that.
So at what point did you go, I mean, I totally get the idea that a young man who's been filled with God would think is priesthood for me. You know, that makes a lot of sense. But you didn't go for it immediately. You went for it quite
I was teaching
much later,
and I was really struggling because, you know, from Led Zeppelin, rock music, Jethro Tull and the whole thing to... And what I was into to coming around to the idea of giving your whole life to God as a priest, and you have this marriage thing, you say, I love to be married too, and it's God's will to be me to be married. And I really was like a fish struggling with the rod and line, you know, for a long time. Oh, won't, oh, will, do you want me, do you don't want me? And in the end, I got immense peace in my heart when I said yes. I felt that in conversation with someone once, if I'd, that's it, there's no more questions now, I'll go for it.
After this particular conversation.
After a lot of struggle,
It's true though, and was it like, was it that person just spoke truth to you that kind of made sense at that point?
Well, I was opening my heart and I was exploring the idea, and just the deepest peace entered my heart. And I think that's very important in life, just to be at peace, to find that place. What am I at peace with, and what's the footsteps of the Lord? You know.
So how did you find the seminary then?
Amazing. In other words, there was fantastic goodness, and you meet wonderful people there who are all, we're all coming from different angles to things. There was a load of joy there. There was a load of goodness. And I really felt the presence in the midst of everyone. You know, there is that, the good shepherd, shepherding, shepherds to be kind of thing. Yeah, and I would say much... Then in university, much more, let's say, the personal, people are trying to make the effort to love neighbour. You know, there was a lot of that.
Yeah.
Goodness. Just
wonderful. So, now, I know you're currently based in Liberia.
Yeah.
How did you end up there?
Someone said, there's no such thing as a coup incident, it's only a God incident. I was here in Ockram Street in Dublin for 6 years. I loved it. Then opening came to go to Peru. Went to Peru for 7 years, and I was working in the edge of Lima, shanty town there. amazing experience to be there among poorest people, really desperate edge of life, you know, and opened my eyes immensely. And then finishing that, I went to pray a lot, to really ask God for, at the crossroads, like, what's next? What would you like next? And then a friend of mine works Mary's Meals in Liberia, and the door opened. I guess God opens the doors for us and we go through it.
Absolutely. Mm. And how did the kind of the Peru Latin American experience differ from Liberia and the African experience here?
Amazing. In Peru, people are very vibrant, very extroverted, very Hispanic, very warm-hearted people. They love to express, and it was Ashanti. It was poverty at the worst you could imagine. You know, people, glorious people, lovely people, living in the most awful conditions. Africa is also really open to God, very very believing, I find, Liberia, and very, very, in some ways, easier. But the African culture is very different to the South American culture, vastly different, yeah. Absolutely. And both glorify God in some different ways, you know. Yeah. Well, there's wonderful. A beauty in both.
So I'm keen to understand this idea, and I think it's a brilliant idea, but the idea of diocesan priest, you know, in a mission setting. And I've known priests who have been, like diocesan priests, who have been out in missions and have had really, it's been fantastic experiences there. The idea is, I presume, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, the idea that in some way a diocese will adopt a parish or two in somewhere in the third world and try and feed, you know, priests there and you know, help with the mission effort. Good idea, bad idea? Do you think it's a good thing that, you know, in the sense that, you know, here we are absolutely dying a death looking for diocesan priests, and we're still sending, you know, people to the developing world?
It's true. I think, first thing, I think God opens the doors, and it's the invitation of the Lord. I never planned it this way. I thought it'd be in Dublin always. When God opens the doors, and you feel that's God's will, you ask your superiors and the Archbishop, and they can confirm it for you. When I stood in Liberia in my first time in Liberia with all the Liberian people, look, I mean, I was presented to them saying, this is your new parish priest. They were looking at me, and I said, I'm very sorry I'm not Liberian, but I'm your brother, and we'll make the effort to love one another as a Christian family. There's no barriers. God doesn't look at us in one way or the other. And you build, it's very good to knock down the walls between cultures, and it's very good to reach over and for them to realize that, you know, I have that great feeling that God embraces the whole world with love, and he wants us simply to live the love, the love that God is, to come into the world somehow. We just let that happen in our life. It's not that we can achieve much, but God can use us like a pencil in God's hand, you know. That's all we are, pencil in God's hand.
That's beautiful, actually. Yeah. That's really wonderful. And I'm a great believer in the idea of the foreign missionary. I mean, in the sense that the person who comes in, forget about new ideas, simply just a new sense of things, or a different sense of things, and just somebody who questions and goes, why are we doing it this way? You know, it's wonderful. Now, you have been working with people struggling with addiction through the Chinakalo community and that kind of thing. Actually, have you introduced Chinakalo to Ireland? You were part of the
group of friends.
Did that.
With a group of friends.
Tell us a little bit about that work.
Well, I've seen in the addicted youth, I've seen a lot of healing. I've seen so much truth in their lives, and I've seen them come from a really wretched place of suffering to find beautiful things through the Chinakalo community. I've been a friend of Chinakalo for 14, 15 years now, and I really see it as a work of God to answer the addiction problem. I've seen literally God puts lives together again. When we're broken, God reassembles us. And I see it every day. I've been there last week out in Knock. I have a farm there.
That's right, of course.
And for me, it's good news to hear the guys saying, you know, I'm really getting together. My relationship with my father is getting better. My family are happier. I'm not going to go back to that again. I've seen the destruction in my life. They bring to the brink of death, those guys, you know. And it's just, I think it's one of God's responses among many for that serious problem. And so many young people have died. In Ockram Street, the first year I was there, 7 young people died. We can't afford these talented, gifted young people. They're in the world. They have God's gifts to offer the world, and we're losing them, you know. Chinakalo is let's say, a shelter under the wing of God.
Yeah, it's a very interesting idea. I mean, the fact that you have a shared life, there's a lot of work involved too, isn't there? There's a lot of actual physical activity involved.
Yeah, there is.
I presume that's part of the process, is it, for, you know, in terms of helping people get through not being idle.
It's a really healthy day.
Yeah.
Morning prayer together, breakfast together, then forming deep friendships and being honest for the first time in your life. They'll all tell you that they had to lie their way through X and Y to get the money for the drugs. They had to steal this and steal that to get the drugs. But they come to a place of truthfulness, honesty and goodness towards other people. And it's structured through the day, you know, and the working, healthy work, balanced sport, everything mixed in together. All the ingredients of a healthy life. But it includes discovering that God is on your side to help you out of it. Mm. That God doesn't want you to be like the donkey in the pit, but God is the lifter. You know, I often think of this in my own life. God is the one who encourages us, you can do it. You can do it. Get up and do it. And God is not the discourager who says, yeah, you're no good and get down and you're useless and, you know, you fail so many times.
As you expect he'll be. Sometimes, you know, absolutely, God, I mean, even those of us who know God for so long can sometimes expect that correcting voice to be there. And it's the opposite.
It really encourages, And I see that the guys in Shanakla do me so much good as a priest because I share the life sometimes when I'm with them. And it's wonderful to see it.
And you've seen people's lives changed.
Very many. And I see them pick up and go on back into society get on, hopefully, wonderfully, if they're just be very careful not to step back into the trap again, you know.
So how come you're home? Are you home permanently or are you just home on a
break?
No,
I'm home. Yeah. I'm going back to Liberia again,
Great. You're on holidays.
I'm home. I am for a spiritual, I'm taking a break. I'm going to a monastery for a while to pray and go, just, I suppose, try to be a good listener to the Lord too. And sometimes that love needs to be refreshed in our life. And if the Holy Spirit is in our hearts, it needs to be refreshed. And we need it badly.
Before I let you go, you, like me, are somebody who had a very profound and an ecstatic, if you like, experience, encounter with God.
Yes.
And from listening to you, I suspect that actually encounter with God is something that you hold highly in terms of other people as well. You think, Do you feel like people would be better if they all had an encounter in some way with God?
I'm praying every day, and my priesthood means nothing else but that people have that beauty, joy, presence, and feel that love that really is. God really is. It's the reason I ever became a priest. Or it's my prayer every day, you know. It's my,
Wonderful. And that everyone would have it. I guess we will have
it's
it.
It's the secret.
The
it's the medicine for the world. It's the healing for the world too.
Well said. It's an amazing story. Very inspiring to hear you say it.
Thank you,
and really a delight to have you here in the studio, Father
Thank
Adrian
you,
Crowley. Currently working in Liberia. Thank you for talking to us this morning.
Okay. Wonderful.